This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park, a congregation that exists to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
Today, we're going to continue in our series, The Beginning of the Good News, from Mark chapter 1. And this passage really tells us that the most powerful force in the world is God's love that we come to know in the person of Jesus. The power that can change anything is the compassionate love of God. And so let's look at this story, and there's really two basic aspects to this story. There's the leper's plea to Jesus, and then Jesus' touch. So the leper's plea, and that plea really reveals how numb we are. And Jesus' touch reveals how loved we are. So let's start with the plea and just kind of set up the story. So prior to this encounter, Jesus is out in a lonely place praying. The disciples find him, and they're like, look, everyone's looking for you. What are you doing? And Jesus says, okay, well, let's go, but we're going to go to different towns because I need to preach there also. And so they go. Basically, Jesus is going from town to town around Galilee. He's preaching. He's healing people in creating quite a stir. The word about him is spreading everywhere. And so while that's happening, this leper comes to him and confronts him. Now, the first question we ought to ask about this is, okay, so if Mark tells us that Jesus is healing, you know, all these people, why does he choose to tell us this particular story? Like, what is it? Why this one? Well, Mark tells us this story because of this disease. It's because he had leprosy. You know, leprosy was a term that was used to describe a variety of skin diseases, but it's a word that even if we hear it today in our context, it still has a stigma. And that's because we are still impacted by the way they understood it that long ago. You know, to them, leprosy was not just any disease. It wasn't just a physical thing. It was a spiritual disease. It was a social disease. It was a dehumanizing, alienating disease. In the Old Testament book of Leviticus, and just try to imagine this, okay? You have leprosy. You have this slow death sentence, and here's what you're supposed to do. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. Leprosy to them was not just any disease. Now, to be sure, there were public health concerns. Leprosy could be, at least certain forms of it, could be transmitted by touch. So there were public reasons for the way they behaved, but there was also fear and suspicion and superstition that really clouded people's judgment and made it impossible for them to be compassionate. And so that means this man has lost everything. He didn't just lose his health, he lost his family, he lost his community. He was completely dehumanized. He was a non-person. Recently, it was in August, a Nigerian newspaper, because they still have leprosy in Nigeria, had this headline, Leprosy. Agony of the living dead. The living dead. That's who this man was. He was a living dead man. And so Mark tells this story because of the uniqueness in their minds of this disease of leprosy. And I will say to you that this encounter with this leper, it's not a story just about this man 2,000 years ago, but it's also about us. It's for us. It's a mirror into our own lives. You know, in the 1950s, doctors discovered why lepers' fingers and toes fell off. It's not that the disease directly caused it, but the disease deadens the nerve endings, which causes a loss of feeling. So over time, a leper loses complete feeling of pain in their fingers and toes, and therefore they just become completely unaware of all the ways that they may be damaging, you know, their hands or their feet or whatever. It's like you just put your hand on a hot stove and they don't feel anything. And so the numbness to the pain leads to all kinds of these physical deformities. And in this leper's plea, I think we're really reminded of how numb we are to the pain that is all around us. We go through our lives and we just tell ourselves, well, this is just the way the world is. You know, we drive to work and there's all these homeless people begging for money. We have to walk through metal detectors just to go to the Royals game. You know, and we say to ourselves, well, this is just the way the world is. But Jesus says, no. This may be the way it is, but this is not the way it's supposed to be. In verse 41, Jesus, he sees this leper, and it says he became indignant. He became angry. Is he mad at the leper? No, of course not. He's angry at this horrible disease and what it has done to this man. You know, Jesus is never numb to the pain. He doesn't just walk by and go, yeah, well, that's just the way things are. No, he becomes indignant. It boils up in him as righteous indignation. And to be a follower of Jesus is to share in this righteous indignation and compassionate action. But I think too often in our culture, Christianity is perceived as just this antiquated religion with no ability really to speak to and help with the complexities of our modern lives. But Jesus comes to us and he says, no, actually you've got it wrong. It's exactly the opposite. It's faith that's real. It's faith and only faith that can really deal with the hard realities of life, not secularism. Jesus says, look, the belief that there is no God, that God is irrelevant, that is the belief that is numb to the world. Now, there was a bus advertisement battle in London, and our friends at Holy Trinity Brompton, the church where Alpha began, for many years, they've published Alpha adverts on buses. And you see, the meaning of life is fill in the blanks at alpha.org. Well, a group of atheists in London decided they were so mad that Alpha was being promoted on these buses that they were going to start their own advertising campaign. And here it is. There's probably no God. There's probably no God. That's an important word, probably. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life. So in other words, the reason for all your angst is you probably think there's a God and you just need to get over it. Essentially what they're saying is, look, life would just be fine if we could just get rid of religion, because it's religion that's kind of forcing all these hard conversations on us about sin and suffering and heaven and hell. And do you really think, you know, here, this is just what is so ridiculous. Essentially what they're saying is, look, if we could just get rid of religion, we would just all live in peace. I mean, seriously, come on. Is that just the natural state of things? We're all just nice, wonderful, peaceful people who just want to get along, right? That's ridiculous. That is being numb to reality. You know, if you think that kind of marginalizing religion would just make everything fine, then what you're communicating, you know, just stop worrying and enjoy your life. Well, if you think that that is the way, then what you're saying to those who are not enjoying their lives, which is actually the vast majority of the world that lives in abject poverty, what you're saying to them is, sorry, but there's no help coming. This is just the way the world is. And deal with it. But the hard reality of faith with its righteous indignation says, no, we don't accept this. Yes, it is what is true. The world is broken. But it is not the way things are supposed to be. You know, and Jesus wants to wake us up from that numbness. And it's not just the world that is broken. But the world is broken because we're broken. You know, notice the leper's plea, cleanse me. If you're willing, you can make me clean, not heal me. Cleanse is a broader word because he knew he needed more than physical healing. He needed social healing. He needed spiritual healing. He needed to get his humanity back. He needed to be rehumanized. He needed to be cleansed. He needed to be resurrected. He was a living dead man. This is why Mark chose this story. Because for them, leprosy, it was a real disease. But it also was a metaphor for sin itself. Why is the world broken? Because we're broken. And you don't have to be religious to know it. Now, I confess before all of you that during my high school English career, and if any of you know Mrs. Wimmer, who taught English at Blue Valley, don't tell her. But I hated all the stories we had to read. The Scarlet Letter, you name them. I never read any of them. I read the Cliff's Notes. Except I did like and do like Shakespeare. I loved Shakespeare for some reason. And I remember the story of Macbeth. And Lady Macbeth, she speaks to this brokenness rather forthrightly. And I paraphrase. That damn spot of smelly blood that all the perfumes of Arabia cannot sweeten. It's in us. And just as we're confronted with the brokenness out there, sooner or later, if we're the least bit honest, we know that damn spot is in here. It's in our souls. Field Marshal Bernard Montgomery, Bernard? All right, good. I got the pronunciation online. He was the British commander of the 8th Army in Northern Africa. And upon his deathbed, he became disturbed, really agitated. And he began talking about his victory at Alamein in Egypt. And Alamein really turned the tide of World War II, especially in the Northern Africa theater. And he said, now I must go meet God and try to explain all those men I killed at Alamein. He was haunted not only by what his army had done in battle, but he was haunted by the idea that someday, which for him was coming soon, that in heaven he was going to have to face these men that had been killed at his order. He said, when I go over Jordan, so that's a reference of the Israelites crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land. He's saying, when I cross over into the Promised Land, I've got to meet all those soldiers I killed at Alamein. Alamein was his triumph. I mean, Alamein is what made him famous. It turned the tide of the war. But at the end of his life, the numbness that he no doubt had to take on to survive the horror of war, that numbness began to give way to his conscience. You know, it's really not difficult to see that the world is badly, badly broken. And the brokenness that we see out there, if we will allow ourselves to see it, is also in here. But we want to remain numb. We want to just say, well, that's just the way it is. But as the years progress, and I definitely saw this in my dad. As the years progress and we come closer to the end, there's almost an instinctual awareness that a day of accountability is coming. And the numbness that we've worked so hard to try to maintain begins to give way to our conscience. Mark tells this story because we're all lepers. We all need cleansing. And that's what the leper's plea reveals. So the leper's plea reveals how numb we are, but Jesus' touch reveals how loved we are. Verse 40, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, this is a great example of what gets lost in translation from one language to another. We read that, you can make me clean, and we don't think anything of it. But the word can in Greek is the word dunamai. What's that sound like? Dynamite. That's right. That kind of puts a new meaning on it, doesn't it? You can make me clean. In other words, you have power like dynamite. He knows Jesus has the power to make him well. He knows he has the power to resurrect him, to make all things new. But the question is, will he? Will he? This is a question of worth. This is a question of love. Am I lovable? He doesn't doubt Jesus' power. He doubts Jesus' love, and it's love that cleanses everything. Real, hard, sacrificial love. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said it well. He essentially says, look, you can have everything in the world, but if you don't have love, you have nothing. You're nobody without love. You're a living dead. And so Jesus, with his touch, he communicates that this man is loved. He certainly has the spiritual power to heal this man from a distance. He doesn't need to touch him. He can just say, be done. He doesn't have to say anything. He can just do it. But instead, he touches him because he knew that this man had forgotten love. Dr. Paul Brand, and I mentioned him in the article on Friday, he worked with lepers in India for many years. And early in his ministry, he's interacting with a man who had leprosy, and he couldn't speak the language at this point. And so he was wanting to comfort the man, but he couldn't speak any words of comfort. So he just reached up and gently put his hand on the man's shoulder, and immediately the man just broke down crying. And he didn't, he's like, what's going on? And his colleague said, you touched him. Nobody has touched him in years. That leper, just like the one in our story, I mean, this was a real person. He had forgotten love. And Jesus says, I'm willing, be clean. He takes his righteous indignation and he turns it into compassion that brings healing to this man. If you read the Gospels, you'll just see over and over again, the primary emotion of Jesus is compassion. Everywhere Jesus went, crowds followed him. He saw the brokenness and the pain that ravaged their lives, but he was filled with a righteous indignation But he didn't turn that into judgment. He turned it into love. And so we can say, you know, well, that's a great story, but what does that got to do with me? Well, think of this. Anyone who touched a leper was declared unclean. Unclean. And that person then had to go to the priest. Glad I wasn't a priest back then. You had to go to the priest whose job it was, you know, you think, well, a priest is a person who, like, reads scripture or whatever. No, a priest in this day had to diagnose whether you had leprosy. And so it was the priest who had to determine, okay, well, you know, when can you go back into the community? But interestingly, Jesus sends this man to the priest, says, hey, look, you need to go to the priest so the priest can see that you're clean and give you the thumbs up to kind of go back into the community. But Jesus doesn't go to the priest. And why not? Because Jesus is cleanliness incarnate. You know, in the presence of Jesus, this leprous nature of sin is no longer contagious. With Jesus, it's his love that is contagious. The flow is reversed. The infection doesn't come from the man to Jesus. Rather, Jesus infects him with his love. But how do you know that's true for you and not just that man? Well, as Mark tells the story, it's interesting. The story begins with Jesus is going around to all the towns and villages preaching and healing people. And the man is out in isolation somewhere outside the city. But look at the end of the story. The leper is sent into town to go visit the priest, and Jesus is outside the town in lonely places. Their positions have completely been reversed. Now listen to Isaiah 53. This is a prophetic word from Isaiah about Jesus. Listen to this through this lens of leprosy. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. On the cross, Jesus became like a leper so that we can be made clean. We come together on Sundays and we celebrate the beauty and the glory and the majesty of Jesus, and rightly so. But on the cross, he became so ugly and disfigured that people turned their faces. All so that you and I could be made clean. All so that this world can be transformed. So that we don't have to just say, well, this is the way it is. No. That story about Bernard Montgomery. You know, he was worried about facing these soldiers in heaven. But I thought it was brilliant. His friend by his bedside told him as he was, you know, worrying about this, he said, Field Marshal, they'll be overjoyed to see you. Because see, that's in that day, all things will be made new. And the sin that has plagued us in our world will be washed away. That's the good news. That's the good news. And that's the good news that we're really about to celebrate so vividly in baptism. Because in baptism, we have the outward and visible sign of the water. But as Wayne goes down into the water, the spiritual reality is he's going to die with Christ. And then when he comes up out of the water, he's going to be be alive with Christ. All things made new.